This is BSS Carolinas, live from Charlotte, North Carolina. We are proudly sponsored by Attitude Broadcasting with your host, Rocky. The next one said J.J. Barea. I was like, what? What J.J. Barea get a player to win? Up to number four, a serviceable player. Fitzpatrick. I'm going to say Summit Foundation. Jason Garrett. Mr. 315.
The Cowboys. Wait a minute. Jason Garrett's the coach for Dallas?
I'm going to have a name.
Jesus Shuttlesworth. Don't give him a pass on that suit either and that hat. Tom Brady.
Probably the best.
And Big Shot.
And ain't nobody fresher than Mason, Martin, Margiela.
Yeah. Tom Brady. Global losers.
Dude. Yeah.
Gotta show them love while you can.
The Doo-Doo Browns get their first win of the season.
Bill Belichick. He got game.
Be Reggie Langford. Who the hell is this running back?
Cowboys.
They holding up to six, baby.
This segment is sponsored by Cody Zeller.
You're listening to BSS Carolinas.
Welcome to BSS Carolinas. I am, of course, Rocky, your host of BSS Carolinas. Joining me on today's show is the one and the only Big Shot Bob. He is here.
What's up? What's happening? How you doing? A beautiful day from the Arrowpoint 2 building in Charlotte, North Carolina, at the Connecticut School of Broadcasting in the studio, live and into your homes. Hey, hey. Connecticut School of Broadcasting, I need some money for that, too. So, ching, ching.
And, of course, you know, besides the man that's sitting there talking all his garbage right now, is Mr. 315. What's going on, man?
What's going on? What's going on out there? Periscope. How y'all doing?
Periscopians out there. Sorry about the issue on Periscope.
What's going on? With the there we go.
Tilted and my head is behind.
Let me adjust.
My head is behind the mic stand here, and
let me adjust my hat.
We just need to like saw this thing off or something, man. It needs to be removed from the table. Can we get removable mic stands from the table? Because the people want to see my face. You got to see my face. Because I bring smiles to people's faces. You know, I just make people feel better, man. That's what I do.
You know, it's Christmas when he's talking junk. Like, no. Anyway,
welcome to today's show. We got a great show for you today. Big Shot's going to complain a lot about, you know, his lovely Cam Newton outfit for this week and the great 47 loss they had. We got a great show for you today, though. Segment one, of course, we're going to talk local sports. Segment two, we're going to talk about the early NFL games, which includes the Oakland-Kansas City game tonight. I know y'all happy about that.
That's a good game.
That is a good game.
That's a good game.
And then segment three, we got the late NFL games, and we'll talk some college football. The Final Four is set. We got the bowl games coming up. So, but first, let's talk about the Panthers' 40-7 loss to the Seahawks. Who wants to start? Let's start with the game first before we get into Cam Newton's outfit.
Well, the game is exactly what the score said it was. It was ugly. The Carolina Panthers surprised everyone at home. Everyone's sitting in front of their television. I'm sitting in front of their television because it's like they came from commercial right to the snap where Derek Anderson was taking a snap. And I'm looking like, why the hell is Derek Anderson taking a snap? Is Cam Newton hurt? Ball goes off of Mike Tolbert's hands, which, can I say, is the biggest waste of $3 million on any person ever. Goes right off his damn hands. Interception. We held them to only 3 points after giving up that interception. But after that, the defense got gashed time and time and time again. The 27th ranked rushing offense in the league had 100 plus yards with one running back in the first half. Like, Thomas Rawls looked like a reinvented Barry Sanders out there. The cuts he was making in the holes, getting to the outside, outrunning our little slow looking team. We looked slow. We looked uninspired. We weren't playing like we were 4-6 and we weren't playing with our hair on fire. We've been complacent all year. We've been complacent since week one when we couldn't get plays off and we had to burn timeouts because we couldn't get the damn play called. It's just been that kind of season. And then to come after the game and say we didn't start our franchise quarterback because he didn't wear a damn tie, that's such hockey. What is that word I'm looking for? Hockey pop?
Poppycock.
Yes, that's it. That's so much poppycock because I can't say the word I want to say. Y'all know what I want to say. But to not have him play the first series because of a tie is crap. Now, if it's an accumulation of things saying he missed a few curfews, he came to meetings or practice the next morning smelling hungover, and that's why you did it, you know, that's what's up. But to say because he didn't wear a freaking tie on a road game, that's ridiculous. See, I don't know what's going on. I know there was an article printed a couple weeks ago that's one of the players was like, oh, the locker room's good, we're good, there's no problems. But after all this comes out, something ain't right. Something smells funky, and it's not my newborn son's diapers, even though they do smell funky. This smells funkier than that, and I don't know what's going on.
I thought when I first heard this, I thought it was an accumulation of things. Probably from Ron Rivera's end, probably enough was enough. I've seen a lot of Panthers games this year where Cam wasn't wearing a tie. I saw a couple of t-shirts. I saw a couple of, you know, button-up shirts with no ties on. I wonder what's really going on. I think it's more, it has to be more than just not wearing a tie, because it's the funny part about it, if anybody noticed, that his attire was a turtleneck. So, I mean, if wearing a tie was the rule, he totally abandoned that rule.
Like, right. Yeah, you can't wear a tie with a turtleneck. Yeah, that ain't going to work.
The fact that he wore a turtleneck was like, you know, forget y'all, I'm going to do what I want. So I'm thinking it's an accumulation of things. I think Cam, it might be a situation where Cam might have been feeling himself for a little bit and doing what he wants, and Ron Rivera said no. He finally put his foot down. That's what I'm thinking.
Look, all right, first of all, locker room that you said. This has been going on from day one with Cam Newton locker room. And if you think it's not, you're kidding yourself.
No, I know.
Because Steve Smith came out with everything he said about the story. I don't know if anybody watched it.
No. Oh, yeah.
I didn't watch y'all, but no. I heard a lot of the stuff.
My wife said. Watching it, she filled me in on the highlights. And
what happened? What's going on?
Steve Smith basically said, like, he was hard on Cam Newton, but he wanted to win, and Cam Newton came in as the diva crybaby superstar. Like, couldn't take criticism.
Yeah.
He couldn't handle anybody saying anything to him. You know, Steve Smith and Cam Newton are different ages. Steve Smith, of course, has several kids.
Different personalities, too.
He's 30-plus when Cam Newton first came in. Cam Newton's fresh, still wet behind the ears when he first comes in the league. And they needed to let Steve Smith go so Cam Newton could, I guess, be the leader. But to stroke his ego, because he couldn't deal with Steve Smith. Because Steve Smith, we know, he is a beast on the field. He is an ultimate competitor. He just wants to win. He will do whatever it takes to win. It's never about catching balls. It's all about making plays, enough plays, doing what he has to do to make his team win. And he didn't feel like Cam Newton was on that page or couldn't get to that page. So he would call him out. It would be games on the sideline.
Yeah.
Steve Smith was getting on him. We got videotape. He's like, look at me when I'm talking to you. Talking to him like that. And it's just a lot of
nonsense. Offense, but I think he needs that.
Yeah.
Listen, I am tired. I am so tired of talking about Cam Newton off the field. When does this young man get it in his head to straighten his ego at the door? Leave at the door and do the right thing. Do win. Shut up. Stop complaining. Stop doing stupid things off the field. And you can say what you want about the tie situation, but it's more than that.
I think so, too.
I mean, if you look out, you look at the other outfits he's wore. I mean, come on.
No tie.
I mean, no, he's wore no tie, but come on, man. Make it about the team. I feel like he thinks he is such a good friend to LeBron James. He thinks he's LeBron James. He's not. He's not won a championship yet. Somebody on another show said Cam Newton's the face of the NFL. wrong. You don't get the face of the NFL with one MVP season. You got to put a couple together.
You need a body of work.
You need a body of work. You don't. Aaron Rodgers get the. He complains about. Everybody complains about Rodgers and Manning, Brady, and other people getting the calls. They have been winners in this league. What have you won? Nothing. A MVP, fine. What do you do? What have I been complaining about this guy for the last 5 years? Consistency. We have this franchise. When do we get consistent as a franchise? Each year, one winning season, downfall. And don't somebody throw the 7-8-1 season at me as a winning season. That's a losing season, folks. Losing.
That division was just terrible.
Right. But, yes, you won the division. So what? You know what second place means? Nothing. Especially when you're a Cowboys fan.
You were the first loser.
When you're a Cowboys fan, and that's the difference, is we expect championship or nothing. And but, you know, with Cam, just, man, come on. Is it wrong for me to see him play and think he has no rapport with his wide receivers? Is it wrong?
No, because, I mean,
do you guys see the same thing I see?
Well, remember, a few weeks back, I said they run some of the worst routes I've ever seen. They run the laziest routes I've ever seen.
Because we got terrible wide receivers. Kelvin Benjamin, he's a big target, but we knew when we drafted him, he can't run routes, he's not fast, and he's got garbage hands.
And that's what I said. He was more of a – he's more of that second guy. He was thrown in that first guy
When
role.
Ted Ginn – say what you want to say about Ted Ginn. When he was the wide receiver last year and you had to worry about him running by you, it opened up so much more for the Carolina Panthers. You don't have to worry about Kelvin Benjamin running by you. Right. He ain't running by anybody.
Yeah.
But when my point is, when you see Cam and the wide receivers together, do they look like they ever work off the field? No.
And
every season,
and in warm-ups,
looks like – it looks they're out of sync from the get-go throughout the season.
And in warm-ups, you see most quarterbacks and with their wide receiver core running routes, running stuff that they're going to do in the game, situational football inside the red zone. In warm-ups, I see Derek Anderson throwing the ball to Greg Olsen. What in the world? Derek Anderson ain't going to be throwing no passes, hopefully, for us during the game. Why is he throwing the ball to Greg Olsen in warm-ups? Why are we not running route trees and stuff that we're going to run inside the red zone so we don't get bogged down? And then we give up 500 more yards in a game. What the hell is going on?
It is a mixture, dude. If the offense plays well, the defense will step up. Right now, the offense isn't doing anything. And you can say they scored 30 points 1 week, sure. But it's either all or nothing.
It's either a feast or famine with this team.
Deep play or not. If they don't get the deep ball, they can't do a drive. They can't put together an 80-yard drive anymore. So my question is, during the offseason, should Cam Newton get with his receivers more and build a rapport? Because I have not seen him do it yet. Now, maybe I'm wrong and he does do it with Kelvin Benjamin and them, but it does not look like they spend any time together at all. My example is like, you know, Peyton used to take all his wide receivers to Duke and all of them work together. Tom Brady would have Edelman and everybody else come to his house. I don't know what Cam Newton does during the offseason. The only thing I've ever seen him do is go play tether ball, kicker
ball,
knocker
ball,
water polo,
film with the ball that he's getting paid for.
Film a off season, you know, show for Nickelodeon, which is great. But when does he put? I don't think he gets another step in his career. I think this is it. It's gonna be one season up, one season down, up down, up down, because the franchise is built like that.
So let me ask this, Panther fans, if you're out there. Do we look to move Cam Newton and get a top flight pick and start again?
I would
say if we finish 4-12, Ron Rivera and Cam Newton are butting heads. It's obvious, and we can't mend the relationship. Do we look to move Cam Newton?
Jerry won't trade him because he'll get rid of Ron before he gets rid of Cam because he's attached his trailer to the horse.
So to speak.
But I was going to say the one thing you asked about Panther fan. I talked to Jeffrey, who's, you know, part of the show on Monday. He wants him gone. He wants Cam gone. He wants him traded.
Does it?
To.
We trade him to Cleveland for the number one overall
Joe
pick.
Thomas? No, he wants to trade Joe Thomas and a pick. Why not? Why not? You get a left tackle.
Good offensive lineman,
you get one of the best offensive linemen.
And if we're not taking a quarterback this year, because there's not a lot of high quarterbacks, Derek Anderson knows this system. He's a serviceable player.
And he's been a starter in the league, too.
And so. At worst case scenario, Joe Webb can run the offense Cam Newton runs.
Hold on.
Oh, Joe Webb's terrible.
Why not? Listen, this is you might think I'm crazy, but there's a guy in Dallas. You get a very cheap price on him. You bring him in for a year or two. No. I'm just saying, dude. Can you imagine that? You know how excited he'd be? He'd be so happy.
Tony Romo in a Panthers uniform.
I would be burning my Panthers shirts if we go pick up Tony Romo. But I know
I'm just saying.
I know we like them bargain basement deals, Mr. Gettleman.
I'm saying for a short term.
I would rather pick up Martin Sanchez than Tony Romo.
I disagree with that.
Tony Romo gonna be hurt. At least Martin Sanchez got a chance for him to be there 16 games. Tony Romo gonna get hurt.
I don't know about that. You got butt fumbles maybe 16 games.
Mark Sanchez.
Let's go grab up Colin Kaepernick. San Francisco wants to move on.
Oh heck no.
Y'all want Tony Romo?
Actually, I have a great name for you. If you do, you're not trading Cam Newton, first of all. If you did, go down to Tampa, get that long neck.
Mike Glennon?
Get Mike Glennon for a couple of years. State University. You don't know. Mike Glennon might he's be a quarterback for the future.
Or
because there's already talks he's going to Jets or something.
Or what's up, Cincinnati, A.J. McCarron? Quality backup that could probably start in this league if he had an opportunity. Definitely not. Let's go get Brock Osweiler.
Oh, no, you ain't getting robbed here in Charlotte. But all right, so Panthers fan, two of the Panther fans I know are already get rid of Cam.
I mean, Cam, they can work this out. Stuff always happens, and losing just compounds the stench that's going along with this season. But next season comes, we start winning again. That deodorant gets put over it. We mask the smell, and life goes on. We just got to make more plays. We got to be better. Dave Gettleman, this is your offseason, dude. Like, you let Josh Norman go. We wasted a bunch of picks on corners, and we didn't get any depth on the offensive or defensive line, which we needed. This is your offseason, Mr. Gettleman. You got to make this thing right.
3 years in a row now, you need an offensive tackle. You ain't got one yet. This is the year you have to do it, and you need a running back. Listen, but first and foremost, if I'm Mike Shula, Ron Rivera.
Mike Shula's got to go. No, he's done.
Yeah. I think he's done.
They got to get a new offensive court. They have
to. As much as I hate Mike Shula, you got to watch getting rid of offensive coordinator and replace him with somebody else. Because then Cam's got to get another offensive coordinator, and you'll step him back. He already looks bad, but there needs to be consistency in this franchise.
Let's get a quarterback coach then, someone that's going to preach mechanics.
Right.
Mechanics, fundamentals. Mechanics, fundamentals. Mechanics, fundamentals. Right. Because both of those for Cam Newton are awful right now.
But in the offseason – I don't care what you do offensively, defensively. The number one thing you need to do, you need to get Rivera, ever who the OC is, quarterback coach, and you need to get with Cam. You need to fix Cam. Whatever's going – if Cam is smiling and throwing touchdown passes, your franchise will win because it will feed off of Cam. When he's smart, but when he's on the sideline pouting, the rest of your team is going to see it, and they're going to lose. Especially if Luke Kuechly is out there, or not out there. Moving on from Cam, because I think we beat that one pretty well. Luke Kuechly, the Panthers have said, if he's healthy, he's going to play this year. I think it's a huge mistake, because one hit, and he's done for the year again. And the future of Luke Kuechly. I don't think you risk him this year.
But I saw some videos of him back at practice, and he had such a smile on his face, such jubilation just to be back on the field. I mean, he enjoys playing the game so much. Don't want to take that love and the passion that he has for the game for him because we're scared he might lose
his
career.
But you want to risk him.
I mean,
you're losing.
It doesn't matter if we start him next week or if we wait till next year.
I will wait until next year.
He could take that hit
in his career. You're right. Absolutely. I agree.
If the man wants to play, this is his job. He kind of has an obligation. If he's healthy enough to go out and play, go play. It doesn't matter. We 4-8, 1-11, 0-12, 12-1, 11-1. You got to play, man.
All right.
I've always said sit him. I said that when he went out, just have him. He's already had, what, two concussions
he's
already?
He's had 2 in 2 years.
Yeah, 2 in 2 years. Yeah, just sit him for the rest of the season.
I mean,
shut him down.
I get a player wants to play. Yeah, I totally get that. But at some point, they have said the NFL is supposed to be in that place where, hey, you know what? You ain't playing. You know, at some point, somebody on that team's got to be like, you ain't playing, dude. You're not playing.
Let me ask you this. Do you think, and I'm going back a couple years, do you think Shanahan and RG3 should have done that same thing?
Oh, absolutely.
Remember
I
that?
I mean, that killed his career in Washington.
Because he said, I want to play. And a coach being a coach is like, well, he says he wants to go out there, so I'll just let him go out there. Then, it cost him, like you just said, it cost him his career.
Right. I mean,
so far.
So, yeah, well, he's in Cleveland. Ain't going to help him any.
No.
But I don't, the worst thing I want to see, and you're right, somebody go out and wreck a motorcycle. They're going out the next day and get another one, go back and start riding again. So I get it. But when you're losing, you know, I can't. If Sean Lee went out, you know, when we were losing last year, which he did, I wouldn't want to rush him back because he's been hurt many times.
And I feel like that's another reason Luke wants to get back out there, because we are losing, because we are suffering. Right. He doesn't want his teammates to be out there without him.
He is the emotional leader
and captain of that defense. Yeah. And just him being out there.
No matter what you say, I still think Luke's the face of this franchise. He's defensive players are always the face of this franchise. It's always the linebacker.
He is the best inside linebacker in the game.
Absolutely.
He is one of the most recognizable faces in the league. And this is the defense. Him and J.J. Watt are right there. Like, you see J.J. Watt walking down the street, you recognize him immediately. You see Luke Kuechly walking down the street, you'll recognize him immediately.
And you can't say that a lot about football players.
Especially defensive football players.
We're moving on from Luke and all that. The game was awful. You know, we all talk. We can't really talk more about it.
We got pounded. It won't pounding this week.
Let's change the logo. Let's change the motto next year. No more keep pounding. What about less pounding?
Or keep pouting.
Keep pouting.
Keep pouting.
What about wear ties? I mean, I'm just saying. You know,
look at all the verbal jabs y'all are making me endure this year, Carolina Panthers.
I'm enjoying it right now, man. We're sitting at the top of the mountain. Y'all are at the bottom. What's good to me?
This was a 15-2 team last year.
Yep.
Man.
But this has been the problem with this team. Up, down, up, down, up, down. Some point, you got to keep it straight. You got to do it. This week, let's talk about real fast. Week 15, Chargers at Panthers. X-Factor, who wins?
Chargers at Panthers. We know who our X-Factor is. Cam Newton. Cam Newton to Greg Olsen combination. Greg Olsen, after starting the season so hot, so on fire, has had, I think, 6 straight games of less than 60 yards.
He ain't scored since receiving. Week 4, right?
Has not scored. No, he scored a couple of weeks ago against the Chiefs. I think that was one of our only touchdowns. But he hasn't had 60 yards receiving in 6 straight games. This man was, early in the season, the leading receiver in the league as far as yards go, and we just forget to throw him the football. The Cam Newton to Greg Olsen combo has to rediscover itself. You saw what Jameis did with Cameron Brate last week to San Diego. They had no answer for him. They definitely don't have an answer for Greg Olsen. Don't play Mike Tolbert at all. Don't even dress Mike Tolbert.
Mr. $3 million. $3 million.
Let's find Greg Olsen. Let's try to take the top off with Ted Ginn. Let's move Ted Ginn back to the wide receiver position. Move Kelvin Benjamin to the X, to the 2 slot spot, and have Funches and Philly Brown mix him at the slot receiver. We would be so much better that way. So much better. We win this week. Damn it.
You,
we will win.
You don't
after
sound confident.
After all the negative talk and the negative bashing about the quarterback and about Ron Rivera's decisions, they will come out and play a confident game this week. 35-30, Carolina. Because we're not going to stop Phillip Rivers for 4 points.
Go ahead.
You want to go? Oh, okay.
I'll go. Yeah, unless you want me to go.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
All right. Listen. Listen, y'all might think I bash Cam Newton, but I'm not. I just want the man to play. I want to see him smile and win. If you don't be arrogant, smile and win. I hate seeing the sore loser. And right now he's being sore. So you need to start winning. And it's all on your shoulders. Nobody else on the Panthers. It's on you. Do you want to dab on folks? You want to get all the spotlight? You're getting it right now. Mike Tolbert, first of all, I don't know why he's still on the team. Somebody told me that, you know, another one, the host on the show, Jeffrey, said, go out and get Sorensen from Florida State, the fullback at Florida State.
We don't need a fullback. Mm-hmm. We don't run a traditional I formation.
No. I think you switch to the I formation next year, and, you know, and you'll be better off to do that. But going back to this game, listen, you can't stop Thomas Rawls. You ain't stopping Melvin Gordon. The guy has been a monster this year. I hope he keeps going because he's on my fantasy teams. I need him. No, I'm just kidding.
No, you're not the playoff start this week.
In most leagues,
most
yeah.
leagues.
Which I'm in, I think, 7 of 8 playoffs right now. But I'm going to say Chargers win. I don't see an answer on defense for them. And I think Joey Bosa is going to destroy Mike Remmers. He'll probably have 2 or 3 sacks against Cam because the guy's been a monster. Their defense line, you can't run against the Chargers. You can throw the ball against them, but running against them, you can't do.
And that's what's crazy about the Panthers, because we've been pretty good against the run all year.
Yep.
Except for last week.
But I'm going to go with the Chargers and win, because this team, the Panthers, seem like such a hot mess right now. And I don't know what's going to turn it around. Maybe – I don't think Luke will play this weekend. I think he's another week away at least before he comes back, even though he did practice this week. But I'll go Chargers in a shootout. I'm going to say like 42-38.
Whew. That is a shootout. I'm going to go with the Chargers also. I feel they're going to capitalize on the turmoil that's going on in Carolina right now. I pick another high-scoring game, 37-30.
And let me give you guys the line. Carolina is a 1.5-point home favorite. The over-under is 48.5.
I would say
47 degrees, partly cloudy skies. So cold but clear, so we should have points.
And I will be there, so we'll see what happens.
Whew. Bundle up. Oh, you're going to be sitting. You're all right, because you're sitting in the suite level spot where it's sheltered off, so you won't
I'll be
feel
fine.
That wind.
Listen, so, and hopefully I can have another great week like I did this week. I was 13-2 last week on NFL.com.
In picks?
Yeah.
Wow.
I only lost the Ravens and the Dolphins. I picked the Dolphins.
I told you not to pick. Why would you pick Ryan Fitzpatrick?
And I picked Tannehill. The freaking Feagles to beat the Bengals. Why? I hate that. You know, 1 week I pick you to win, you lose.
The Feagles.
The Feagles. But anyway, I'll go to the Chargers. I don't know. But anyway, let's move on to the Hornets. A little bit better talk. They beat the Mavs last week, 97-87. They lost to the Timberwolves, 125-120.
What a game, though. That game was crazy.
That was crazy Saturday night. I was there for that one. At the Mavs, they won 101, excuse me. And then last night to the Pistons, they beat the Pistons.
In an ugly game.
97-87.
There were so many air balls. Marvin Williams slips. He does the splits. He's probably going to be on Shaq and the Fool tonight. But it was a win. We'll take it. Hornets sitting at 13-9, third seed right now in the Eastern Conference.
Did you look at the rest of the conference? That division is horrible.
We're the only team above 500 in the Southeast.
The Hawks are 10-13, yeah. Man.
That's the Dwight Howard effect.
What has happened in this division?
They let Jeff Teague go, who was a better guard than Dennis Schroeder. They let Al Horford go, who was a better mesh with Paul Millsap.
Where the Hawks started strong, though. They started strong, and then lately
they've lost 7 in a row.
Right, right.
Kim Bazemore's hurt. They reassigned Mike Scott. Dwight Howard, we know he's a shell of what he used
to be. Tim Hardaway Jr., nothing.
Nothing. Hasn't done anything to live up to that money they gave him.
And Dwight played all right the first few games. And I thought Dwight was on his way to having a good season.
Ever since he played the Hornets and Cody elbowed him in the face, he ain't been the same.
Cody lit him up 9-10 that night.
That Cody Zeller endorsement. We're doing it again.
He sponsors this show, man. He unknowingly sponsors the show.
You're a serviceable player. Go to die.
Right?
All
right. What?
Yeah. Huh?
He is the serviceable king.
Yeah. They beat the Pistons last night. I know somebody in this room is not happy about that, but
Drummond
had a big game though.
We beat them. A week and a half ago.
It was a big win for Charlotte. We needed.
If this was a 7-game series, we had the split. We take the split going back to Detroit.
Take the split. this week, Friday, home to the Magic. Saturday, at
who's been
the
playing well? They've been playing well,
dude. Serge Ibaka, man, he's a star now.
He loves getting the shots, doesn't he?
Friday, home to the Magic. They beat the Cavs last week. Saturday, Hornets at the Cavs. Monday, at the Pacers. Wednesday, at the Wizards. How do they do this week?
They should win at Orlando, but Orlando always seems to play as pretty good. And then having to go back-to-back to Cleveland, we're not going to beat Cleveland. They embarrassed New York. They embarrassed New York last night. It was ugly.
You knew that was going to happen. Yeah. LeBron wanted to put a statement.
It was not funny.
Yeah, they made a fool of Phil Jackson.
He made a posse out of him.
My posse's on Broadway.
They should handle Indiana. Indiana looks like a shell of its former self. Ooh. They don't play any defense
no
more.
What happened to Indiana?
Larry Bird crapped on Frank Vogel, who's a very good coach. You see what he's doing in Orlando right now.
I have no respect for Larry Bird after what he did to Larry
Vogel.
And
Nate McMillan, he hasn't captured this team's excitement yet. They don't look like a team, and they have a lot of names on paper that look good, but when you put them on the floor as a team, they don't mesh well. They're not that great. They should beat Indiana as well.
Well, not only that, but they added – when you try to take a team that plays half court and you try to make them shoot more threes.
With and you guys don't really that have don't shoot the three.
Right, and you try to spread it more – you can't really spread it just because you changed the coach. You need to change a lot more of the players. Monty Ellis went to Milwaukee. Yeah, he's not in Indiana anymore.
No, he's still in Indiana.
No, he's still there. No, he's still there.
He's just a shell of the player he used to be. Okay. Well, the league is starting to catch up to him. It catches up to everybody.
Right.
The league, that's what I like about the NBA. The league figures you out after a while.
Yeah, ask Stephon Marbury. But, look at Indiana, though. I mean, they got, Big Al, but – Big Al's he's like 36.
He's just a serviceable bench player now.
They were supposed to be like a top two team.
That's what I thought. I
was
three.
Like, Indiana, they're going to be a top four team. They might have a chance.
Look
to
at Nate McMillan, though. Wherever he's been, he's never been one of the top three.
Portland, Seattle.
I mean, Portland was good with Rory, but Rory got hurt, and, that kind of destroyed them. This week, they don't lose all four, do you?
Are you kidding me? Listen, they're playing Wizards. The only game they're going to lose is the Cavs.
They got the Wizards at the Wizards. John Wall just scored 52.
And he hates his team.
But you know what? He's going to score. He's going to keep scoring. He needs to stop worrying about Boogie Cousins and worry about the Wizards. I know he hates the team.
Yeah, him and Bradley Beal not getting along.
They haven't gotten along since Bradley Beal's been there.
Right.
Well, it's too hot in there.
Too many chefs in the kitchen. Nothing gets cooked.
Right. What you got the Hornets going? I got them going 0-4. They ain't winning a game.
1-3.
Stop hating on my team.
I'm not hating. They're my team, too.
Kemba Walker is playing at an all-star level. He can score the ball.
Listen.
And if it's close at the end,
I'm not taking anything away from Kemba. But they're playing the Magic at home. Magic always does something. Evan Fournier will put up like 35. Against the Hornets, always does.
$85 million.
DJ Augustine plays for the Magic. Watch him. He'll probably score 30. They always do. Every time Augustine comes back, I can't go to the game now. I just realized Augustine's coming back. Every time I go watch Augustine, he puts up 30.
Go watch him. Charlotte. Go watch him. I'd like to see that.
You want to go see Aaron Gordon. He might get a highlight dunk.
Nobody's going to be able to stop Ibaka. Who's going to stop Ibaka in the middle?
Roy Hibbert.
Oh my gosh.
Roy, he had big rebound too. All right.
Hold on. Let's go back to your big three and Roy Hibbert. Roy Hibbert. Let's talk about Roy Hibbert.
Let's talk about Big Roy.
Big Roy is horrible. Did you watch him against Minnesota the other night? He got a rebound. No, he didn't. He didn't get a rebound. He got the ball inside. He makes like four or five moves trying to make a move to make a shot. He drops the ball because he was going up with the ball. Instead of just going up with the ball when you're 7 feet two, 250 pounds.
He's unathletic.
He is the most unathletic center I've ever seen.
He's slow. Terrible.
He's like Greg Oden.
He doesn't.
Greg Oden might be better.
No, Greg Oden would have been a monster if he could have stayed healthy.
No, I would take Greg Oden at this stage in his career right now, today, over Roy Hibbert.
I'll take Benoit Benjamin over Roy Hibbert right
I
now.
Would take Amari Stoudemire. Go sign
Stop.
Him.
Stop. Roy Hibbert had a huge rebound and a putback at the end of the third quarter last night that gave us momentum going into fourth that helped us spur on to a victory.
I have never seen a center that was good fall so fast in my life. This guy's 7 foot. Jeremy Lamb had 17 rebounds, mm-hmm. and he's 6 foot six. Mm-hmm. Roy Hibbert had three.
A guy who didn't even score in a playoff game against the Heat a few years ago. 7 foot four and didn't even score.
Well, unfortunately for Roy Hibbert, he's 20 years too late to be effective in the new NBA. The new NBA is way too fast for him.
Yeah.
He would have been great in the 90s.
Roy, here's some advice, buddy. I'm getting ready to start playing basketball at the Y uptown, downtown Charlotte. Come by. Show me how you really play, because I still think you play like you play against fifth grade people. I don't think you play in the NBA no more. So, anyway, let's move on. The last Charlotte area news I got, Charlotte Knights hire a new manager this year, Mark Grzelanek.
Are they going to finish above 500 this year?
Well, it doesn't matter. They almost won the division. It's not that important to finish 500 in Charlotte. It's not. No, I'm just kidding. I think they might, because guess what? They got a lot of talent coming in after these trades. Chicago White Sox, you know, they traded Chris Sale, so they got a bunch of rookies coming in from Boston. So watch out for them this year.
Chapman went to my Yankees.
That's right. We'll talk about
it. He sure did. The Greensboro Swarm, currently 3-8, host the Windy City Bulls Saturday, December 10th. They split over the weekend, winning in Austin, but losing at winning in Texas and losing at Austin. And then they, of course, lost the Raptors 905 last night. But go check them out. We got some good young talent.
Some good old talent. Damian Wilkins still playing.
Hey,
37-year-old Damian Wilkins and 45-year-old Perry Ross.
We also got your boy from NC State. Let me pull his name up real
fast.
Not Cat
Barber. Don't say Cat Barber.
Don't say Julius Hodge.
Please say C.J. Leslie.
Ralston Turner.
Ralston's playing there?
Ralston Turner plays with the Greensboro Swarm. NC State fans, come out, check him out. Rasheed Suleiman, former Duke Blue Devil, former Maryland Terrapin is with them. Go support the Greensboro Swarm. It's a good time to go see some basketball.
I have not been that excited to hear somebody from NC State's name since Todd Frazier at NC State number 50. Big redhead, big ginger. All right, anyway, that is BSS Carolina's first segment. We got a couple more segments coming up. Stick around. Everybody on Periscope, stick around. We got a couple more shows. Catch us later.
Stop, peace.